In this season of light, let us go before God and confess how our words and actions contribute to the darkness instead of adding to the light. God of love and light, we confess that we are not always the light bearers you desire us to be. We shine a spotlight on the transgressions of others while trying to keep our own sins hidden in the dark. We burn bridges by being impatient, opinionated, and judgmental. We inflame others by lashing out in anger. We go through our days enveloped in the gloom of fear and doubt. We let our witness become a smoldering ember until it dies out completely. Forgive us, Jesus, the everlasting light. Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Teach us to walk as children of light, surrounded by your love, forgiveness, and healing. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light of God, it is in light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As we light this third candle of Advent, we are almost there. Bethlehem is in sight down the road to joy. We're coming. We can't wait to share our joy with Jesus and his amazing family.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, you know the deserts and the parched places in our lives. We seek your healing power. Lead us on the Advent journey to the place of new birth and to the place of our redemption through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's first reading is taken from the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, a reading from Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like a crocus, it shall bloom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunts of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. There shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, who whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
The morning second reading is taken from the book of James, the 5th chapter. A reading from James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See the judge standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
So during the gospel today, I'm going to ask you to multitask. So I'm going to invite you to be seated, first of all. And as I read the gospel this morning, there will be a song playing in the background. And I ask that you listen to both. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11. prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater. Song was playing. It's kind of a good song, isn't it? I'll talk a little bit more about it in the sermon today. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's kind of a haunting song, isn't it? It's a song of longing and looking and waiting and hoping and anticipating. There's a lot we could do with that today, but We're not going to just sit today in our waiting. We're going to be a little bit active because Karen Anderson is the missionary that we now support, and she lives and works in Chile. And she is working to empower especially women, but many people, to care for others through providing health care for them in their communities and neighborhoods where they can't find that health care otherwise. And so we're going to do a noisy offering today. And so I know you're all waiting for Christmas. You're all hoping to get what's on your list. And you might get it or you might not. But in the end, you know what? I'm guessing it really won't matter if you get exactly what you want or not. Because you have the greatest gift of all. And that's Jesus who lives in your heart. And so today, Jesus' love compels us to help other people. As we wait, his love compels us to help other people. So let's do the noisy offering. Let's pray for it first, and then we'll get to it. Jesus, we love you. We adore you. Thank you for blessing our lives with your presence. Let your Holy Spirit reveal you in your life-giving presence in every way this Christmas and Advent season. Let this noisy offering be a blessing to Karen and those she serves. Let it strengthen their ministry and help them to know that they are not alone in the work that they do as they await the coming of Jesus who will make all things new. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'd ask Ben not to sing the welcome or get up children's song this morning because I wanted this other song kind of in your head this morning, this I still haven't found what I'm looking for. When we met John the Baptist last, that was in chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospel, but it was just last week, John was in the wilderness and he was calling people to repentance and he was baptizing many. He was confronting the religious leaders with their hypocrisy, saying, "You brood of vipers, who told you or who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance." John seemed confident and was boldly pointing to Jesus as the long-awaited and expected one. Now, however, 8 chapters later, John is sitting in prison and sends one of his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" It's clear that John, who was once so confident in his proclamation of Jesus as the anointed one, and in his trust of Jesus as the Lamb of God, now is not so sure. It's clear that John still hasn't found what he's looking for. This U2 song, don't misunderstand me. You might think I said YouTube, but U2 song has been performed by church choirs because it is a recurring theme of all who seek to follow Jesus, a theme that arises at some or even at multiple points along our journey to Bethlehem to meet the real Jesus. The songwriter has meddled in secular things and in heavenly things and says, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. The song emphasizes the longing in the still. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. John seemed to be doing just fine when he was free and able to do what he felt called to do, but now, from behind bars, he hears what the Messiah is doing and he wonders. Not because of what he hears, but because of his own situation, his own circumstances. He is in prison. Is Jesus the one? John knows that in the list of things Jesus is doing, something is missing. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Something is missing. We see it in Psalm 146. The Lord executes justice for the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. And yet here John is in prison, waiting for Jesus to act, waiting for Jesus to free him, to liberate him. Are you the one who is to come, Jesus? Or are we to wait for another? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. This story reflects for us the image of our own journey of faith. When things in life are going well, it's easy to say, I've found what I'm looking for, I believe. When things are not going so well, when life happens, when hard times come and the journey to Bethlehem gets long and tedious and challenging, when we're forced to face our humanity and our mortality with a diagnosis or are confronted by our addictions, when financial straits constrain us and keep us from fulfilling our dreams, when crisis comes in our marriage or our families, when we're imprisoned by the circumstances of life, we begin to wonder, where is God? We become disappointed, disillusioned, and discouraged in our faith, in our Jesus, in the one we've made in our own image. We wonder with John and with all the saints throughout history, are you the one who is to come, Jesus, or are we to wait for another? We experience that longing. We experience that emptiness that calls for fulfillment. And we, with you two, can say or sing, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. In a sermon written by William A. Ritter, he writes, I don't know where life may be defeating you this Advent. I don't know how Jesus may be disappointing you this Advent. But I would suggest to you this. Advent, that any disillusionment... But I would suggest to you this Advent that any disillusionment you feel may not necessarily be a bad thing. For what is disillusionment if not literally the loss of illusion? And in the long run, it is never a bad thing to lose the lies we mistake for the truth. Did Jesus fail to come when you rubbed the lantern? Then perhaps Jesus is not a genie, he writes. Did Jesus fail to punish your enemies? Then perhaps Jesus isn't a cop. Did Jesus fail to make everything run smoothly in your life? Then perhaps Jesus is not a mechanic. Over and over again, our disappointments draw us, he writes, draw us deeper and deeper into who Jesus really is and to what Jesus really does. What did you go into the wilderness to see? Jesus asks three times. A reed shaken by the wind? Reeds grow by the marshes and by waters. Not in the wilderness, not in the desert. You're disillusioned if you think you'll find that kind of abundant life in the wilderness. What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes, they are in royal palaces. John is not royalty. At least not by the world's definition. If you think otherwise, you are disillusioned. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, finally the truth, one speaking for God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Turn around. Look to Jesus. Turn to him. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree, John proclaims. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water of repentance for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This one is Jesus. One whose love, yes, warms and comforts those who are distressed and hurting and broken, but also one whose love is a source of fire, the fire of transformation for those who are comfortable and those who are overlooking those whom Jesus is looking to bless. Repent, Jesus says. Turn around. Walk my way. And in that way, love and serve as I love and serve. Jesus has come and is coming to transform you and me. Not so that we can transform him or make him into our image. As Jesus made his way toward Jerusalem, he stripped away his disciples' illusions from who they thought he was and revealed to them his true identity and mission. He tells them the Son of Man must be handed over to the authorities, undergo great suffering and be killed, and on the third day rise. And Peter said to him, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. And what does Jesus say to Peter in that moment? He says, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on human things, or on human things, rather than on divine things. John the Baptist did not get to see Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, his suffering, his death. Not quite the Messiah that John was expecting, but it is a Messiah, one who is anointed, and one who, if we are looking, will help us see that what we're truly looking for is not of this world. And it is free. And it is life-giving, no matter the decay and the destruction going on around us. And so we pray, help us, Jesus, to know what we are truly looking for. Because on our own as human beings, I think we get confused. We get on the wrong track. And so we pray, Jesus, help us to know first and foremost what and who we are looking for. And it is life from Jesus. What we're aching for and need is a relationship with our Creator. A relationship that leads us to and through our Creator, to and through God, back into relationship with our neighbor and all of creation. But not a relationship of power. relationship of love, a relationship of sacrificial love, of care and compassion, of hospitality and humility, of mercy and of grace. These are the values exemplified by Jesus, the one we meet in Bethlehem, the one we meet in Bethlehem, and who takes us from Bethlehem to beyond. Amen.
Please join me in confessing the Apostles' Creed. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The intercessory prayers are the prayers of the people, so I'm going to join you in the aisle as we offer up our prayers. Keeping awake as we watch for Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy God, we rejoice that your promises take on flesh in Jesus. Grant patience to your church, awaiting the fulfillment of your reign of justice and peace. Restore in us the hope that we are called to proclaim to the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Life-giving God, we rejoice that you coax flowers from the desert and water from the wilderness. Send rain to parched fields and sun to flooded plains. Nurture all that lies sleeping under frozen ground. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Almighty God, we rejoice in your authority as Prince of Peace. Deliver us from those who yield power through unjust and oppressive ways. Raise up prophets to speak your truth in this and every nation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we rejoice that you dwell in human bodies. Renew signs of your joyful presence in people of all shapes, sizes, ages, and ability. And join me in praying for those in our bulletin. Heather, family of Ruth, Rosella, Rolf, Karen, Melissa, Savannah, Ashley, family of Kenneth, Bernie, Marge, Scott, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Mighty, missionary Karen. Empower all to embrace their callings and the gifts of your Spirit. Hear us, O God. Generous God, we rejoice that you create us to praise you. Strengthen the voices and hands of all who prepare to celebrate Christ's birth with music, dancing, and proclamation, in worship and in the community. Hear us, O God. And then I'm going to close the prayers with a prayer from our Bishop, Elizabeth Eaton. So her prayer for all of us, she says, I hope and pray, dear church, that in this season of Advent and Christmas, you will find time for stillness, find time to sense the expectation and the longing, but also to celebrate the miracle of God's love. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
God who gathers us in love, lead you in pathways of righteousness and justice. God who knows us more deeply than we know ourselves, lead you to pathways of forgiveness and freedom. God who fills us with good things, lead you in pathways of equity and abundance. The blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Go in God's peace.
Thanks be to God. Coffee is on. Hope to see you downstairs.